So tonight, like I said, we're going to talk about Holy Week. A little couple of weeks ahead of time, but we might as well get started with it. And then at break time, I'll go over some announcements and everything that we're going to talk about. All right. So Holy Week. Holy Week starts the day, Palm Sunday begins Holy Week. And I know we've talked about Palm Sunday before when I talked about Lent a little bit, so we'll talk a little bit more about it, not spending too much time on it. It's the Sunday before Easter. It's also known as Passion Sunday. And we celebrate the beginning of Jesus' passage from life to death. We have a procession into the church, and we have two Gospels are read that day. So one is read on the outside, which is Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And then the second gospel is read is the passion of Jesus, Last Supper, and then dying on the cross. We have the palms represent kind of like the red carpet for a celebrity. So you can imagine Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and everybody's like, oh, he's here. And they love him, and they're throwing palms down and everything. And then in a short 4 or 5 days, he's going to be dead on the cross. They're going to come out. So it is. It's Holy Week is an amazing week. So this is a couple years ago. You can see we're all standing outside. That's Father Beto, who's used to be here, but now he comes in as a visiting priest. And there's Deacon Don. You can see people holding palms, and we bless the palms on the outside of the church. And then we have the procession into the church. They'll ask you to leave the church and go outside. If you're somebody who just doesn't want to leave, you can stay. You can see some people are sitting there, but that's okay. And you can see them all coming in. People are behind them coming into, just kind of like a resembling Jesus going into Jerusalem. So then we start Holy Week. And we start with Holy Monday. And a lot of scholars in the church can have arguments over how Holy Week actually goes, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. For the Catholic Church, they've come up with this these days and what they think has happened these days. But don't be surprised if you have family and friends that say, oh, no, that didn't happen on Monday, that happened on Tuesday. And we know it happened either Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. We all are in agreement on Thursday and Friday, for sure. But it's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday that there could be some difference of opinions. So Monday is when Jesus goes to his friend's house, which is Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Martha is the one who is busy getting everything ready and busy. And Mary's the one that sits at his feet and listens to him talk. She eventually anoints his feet with oil. And that is his anointing. You guys are all going to be anointed in whatever sacrament you're getting. We're going to anoint the catechumens, the ones that are going to get baptized. You're going to be anointed at the retreat. So kind of the same line of what Jesus was going through. He got anointed before his death. Not that you guys are dying, but you're going to get anointed before your sacraments. Okay? And you can find that in the Gospel of John. It talks about it. Holy Monday also is known as Fig Monday. You don't hear that as often, but the story goes that Jesus was going towards Mary and Martha's house. He was getting hungry, and off in the distance he saw a fig tree with leaves on it. And he thought, well, this isn't the time for the fig tree to produce fruit, but there's leaves, so there's got to be fruit over there. He walked over to the fig tree, and there was no fruit on it. And so he cursed the fig tree, and the fig tree died the next day. So it was kind of like you use that as a symbol of, here's Jesus, he's the one. And then we put him to death, and he withers and dies. So kind of the same kind of symbolism there. So we have Tuesday, Holy Tuesday. Jesus actually predicts his death. He speaks for the last time in the temple. And you can find that in John as well, John chapter 12. And then Wednesday, Holy Wednesday, is the day that they believe Judas actually went and started talking to the leaders about Jesus and seeing what they would like from him. From Judas to betray Jesus. So that is the first beginning of Holy Week. During Holy Week, there's always a chrism mass. And every archdiocese in the world, not just here, but in every part of the world, they will have a chrism mass on Holy Week someday. In our archdiocese, it's the Monday, Holy Monday, that they have the chrism mass. And what it does is they're blessing all the oils that the church will use throughout the year. So we usually send some of our parishioners or deacons down there. So usually it's been Deacon Charles and Deacon Raul have gone. And then they collect the oils from them, and they bring them back to our church, and those are the oils we'll be using at the vigil. Okay? So this is a couple years ago. This is at the cathedral, which is where you guys will be going in a couple of weeks. Cardinal Mahoney, and you can see all the oil bottles all around those tables right there in front, the forefront. So it's a pretty, I would love to go one day. Just hasn't worked up yet. But I heard it's kind of special. So then, and these are the holy oils. Oil of catechumen, the sacred chrism, and the oil of the sick or infirmed. So those are the three oils that we use throughout the year that get blessed on the chrism mass. Yeah?
Is that like the whole time for the year?
For the whole year. No, they come back with big ones. Those are just the decorative ones that are out. If you see in our church, if you're looking at the altar, I don't know what that cabinet is called.
Ambry.
The ambry has the three oils in it, and the container, they're pretty small. But we have more in the safe, so they just keep on filling them up as we need. Or as people spill them. Don actually spilled some a couple of years ago. On his owl.
Or the bishop puts a lot on you.
Yeah, or the bishop's a lot, yeah. Well, don't be surprised if Father Leon does that for confirmation. He's been known to give you guys a lot of oil. Okay, so after Holy Wednesday, we go into Holy Thursday, which starts the Easter Triduum. And these are the high holy days of the Catholic Church. Now, I know you've heard of the Jewish holidays, especially Passover, big days for the Jewish people. These are the big days for us. If any of the 3 days are going to be as big, it's the Triduum, the Easter Triduum. And what we want to do, they're not holy days of obligation, but I encourage each and every one of you guys to try to make it to one or all the services we have. And I'll tell you the times and what we're doing at all the services. And because of work and you just can't do it, I'm hoping that every day you can take a moment out, maybe read some scripture on what's happening on Holy Thursday, which is the Last Supper, maybe scripture on Friday about Jesus' crucifixion, something like that to just kind of keep you involved in what's going on in the church, okay? But they're very, very important time of our faith. And then maybe in the future, you can have some time that you can go to some of these services. So Holy Thursday, it's the Mass of the Lord's Supper, and a lot of things are happening, okay, on this day. It's the pivotal life of Jesus. This is the time that he knows that it's happening, and it's happening now. He has a Passover meal with his apostles, and that's when he institutes the Eucharist. That's the first Eucharist, was his Last Supper with his friends. He washes his friends at the apostles' feet to show them that you need to serve. You need to serve other people. I'm washing your feet, now you need to go out and wash other people's feet. He institutes the priesthood. He tells them that you're going to go out there and you're going to collect my people. He gives us the great commandment to love one another. Judas betrays him this night, and Peter denies him this night. Jesus goes up to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prays, and he actually is praying that the cup maybe can pass over him. Remember, you have to remember Jesus was human as well as being God, and he could feel pain like we do. And he had a chance, I really believe that he had a chance to think, okay, God, I really don't want to do this. You know, this is going to be horrible, what's going to happen, just like you and I would probably do. So he actually prays that maybe the cup can pass him. And then he is arrested in the garden, and he's taken to Pontius Pilate. So that's a lot of things that happen on Holy Thursday. So this is the Mass. You can see all the clergy is coming in. It's a big Mass. It's at 7:30 o'clock, I think. I believe it's at 7:30 at our church. So we try to accommodate people who work. It is the last Mass before the Easter Vigil. So there is no Mass that's on Friday. The blessed oils will be brought up into the church for the very first time. Bells are actually rung. Remember, we don't have, well, we do the bells. But we do have the Gloria is sung at the Last Supper. And then we don't sing it again until the vigil. At this Mass, you will see that we're going to have a lot of hosts being consecrated. You're going to see ciboriums. Those gold bowls are going to be all up there on the altar, and they're all going to be filled with hosts. Why would they have to do that? Why are they consecrating all these hosts?
There's no Mass on Friday.
There's going to be services on Friday. There's actually going to be 3 services, but there's no Mass because you can't have a Mass on Good Friday. So if we're going to have a service, we're going to have a communion service. They can't consecrate the hosts, so the hosts have to already be consecrated. So they consecrate a whole bunch of other hosts, and then they secure and lock them up until Friday, until Good Friday.
My grandchildren are very concerned over the fact that they can't say hallelujah.
Hallelujah, yeah. You can't say it, not yet. The priests and the deacons will recommit to their vows of service that night. The clergy actually will wash the feet. The clergy will wash the deacons' feet, and then the deacons will come down and wash our feet. So if you're there, please go to our deacons and get your feet washed. You can go get a pedicure if you want beforehand. Not a big deal. It's really quick. You'll see a picture of it. At the conclusion of the Mass, the Eucharist is actually put in a place of repose, the altar of repose, which is in the Mackay Center, which is the hall right behind the church. The tabernacle is left open and empty. So if you're ever in the church and that tabernacle door is open and there's nothing inside, you do not have to bow to it because Jesus is not there. This is somewhere else. The altar is stripped. And the faithful spend time in adoration. Our adoration is from the end of that Mass till midnight. So we all go over after the Mass. We all process over to the hall. And then we have the altar of repose where the Eucharist is. And you can sit there at adoration for as long as you want. Remember adoration when we did that prayer experience where we went to the chapel and you just sit there. You can bring a prayer book. You can bring a rosary. You can just sit there and try to listen to God. Okay? Preparing yourself for your sacraments. And or you can prepare yourself for what's going to happen to Jesus the next day. So this was a few years ago. These are some of our catechumens who brought up the oils. You can see our oils right there. The oils are brought up and put up by the altar. There's Father Leon washing feet. They get right down there. They wash the feet. Only one foot. It's okay. There's Deacon Don washing feet. Now, this is the end of Mass, so Father Leon is bringing the Eucharist out. You can see the clergy are behind him, and then we all follow behind them. And you can see how they lead you over to the hall. The choir is usually lining up the area and singing as we are walking. He's putting it up on the altar of repose. The art and environment, another thing that the art and environment does well is preparing this hall for adoration. Yeah.
Where is that picture?
That's in the hall. Mackay Center.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. No, not outdoors. You can see the tabernacle is open and bare. The sanctuary light is on because Jesus is not there in the tabernacle. The altar is bare, which to me is the saddest thing ever. I don't like this. I don't like these days, but it is what it is. And we have to put the Eucharist and Jesus somewhere. So it depends on where the priests want to put it. But one year it was in the safe in the sacristy. It's usually in the safe because we can lock the safe. But wherever the consecrated host is, you'll see the tabernacle light candle there, and that's to let you know that Jesus is in that area. So if you're walking past or something, you know, then you can bow. You can go past it. Okay.
There's usually no confessions, right?
Usually, yeah, no confessions. Any questions on Holy Thursday?
I actually have a question on the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, when are you supposed to bow?
When you go past it.
Okay.
Can you collect or bow?
Okay. So I can reach it from the other entrance, so I don't like bow.
No, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Only when you're kind of like going right past it.
I was scared.
Right beside it. Yeah.
Are we supposed to wear something in particular?
No. This is just a regular mass. Yeah. Just like a regular mass. And if you saw, the priests were all wearing white. The priest will be wearing white. So then we go into Good Friday. So Jesus is still being questioned by Pilate early in the morning on Friday. He's mocked and he's beaten. And then they give him a crown of thorns. Pilate really doesn't want him to die. He doesn't want to crucify him, but everybody is asking Pilate. And because of the politics, they even had politics back then. Pilate wanted to please the people, so they said, go ahead. And they crucify him. So he gets condemned to death. He has to walk to Golgotha, which is called the Mountain of Skulls.
Skull,
yeah. And doing this, he falls three times. Jesus is on the cross, and he says his last seven words. He cries out, and he dies. When he dies, darkness falls over the earth. There's an earthquake. The veil of the temple is torn into two, and then he's taken off the cross and buried in a tomb.
Diane?
Yeah.
I don't know that everyone knows the significance of the veil being torn in two.
Well, do you remember that he tells people that the veil was going to be torn in two? It's a resembling of him.
The part that separates the Holy of Holies, that tabernacle was. So it separates that, and when it's rent, suddenly people have access to that. It's just everything's torn apart.
Oh, everything's torn apart, yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
It's for the Jewish people, it's torn apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally torn apart.
Yeah, and the church was now open because of what his sacrifice. When he's on the cross, he says the seven last words. This is something great to do a lectio on during that day if you can't come to any of the services. You can find it on the internet. It's in the Bible. You can find it anywhere. But it's an amalgam of all four Gospels. It's not just in one spot. It's an amalgam. But he does say, he starts by saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And he says, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus said to his mother, Mother, woman, this is your son. He says to his disciple, this is your mother. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He says, I thirst. It is finished. And his final words were, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. So if you can't make it to any of those services, look up the seven last words of Jesus and do a lectio. Just concentrate, meditate on those words. Okay? That's good. So, I love the saying. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. It's a wonderful saying. So during this service, we recall the passion and the crucifixion of Jesus. There is no mass, like we said. There is a communion service, but there is no mass. When the clergy come in, they will lay prostrate in front of the altar as an act of humility. There is a liturgy of the word, and then we have intercessions where we pray for the whole world. There is a veneration of the cross. There's a communion service, and then we leave in silence. It's a little bit, definitely a little different than what a mass is. Yes, Stephanie?
I'm sorry, I don't know what you said. What was laid in front of the altar?
The clergy will lay prostrate. They lay, I'll show you a picture. They look like they're sleeping in front of the altar.
Okay.
Matter of fact, there they are.
Yeah, we need help getting up.
Yeah, and some of them need help getting up.
So they need your prayers if they can all get
back. So they do, they come straight in, and they go straight down for humility.
Looks like I have a sleepover or something.
Yeah. Now you'll see some of the older deacons will just be bowing at the altar. It's the same kind of thing. And you can see altar servers in the back there. They're just standing. We're all standing in the pews and stuff. And they're doing it in silence. Okay? When they all got ordained, they have to lay prostrate on the altar as well. Or in front of the altar. So it's just the sign of humility to God. This is kind of what we've been doing for veneration of the cross. Is we've been passing around this cross the last couple of years. And basically what it is you touch the cross as it comes up over you. And that's your veneration. You're actually touching the cross. Some people will go like this with their hands to their lips and touch the cross that way as they're passing along. That's fine, too. A lot of people like to kiss the cross.
We're not
going to
pass around the new cross, right?
We are not passing around the new cross. It's got to be that cross again.
Yeah, work out.
Yeah, and we have to help. I mean, the elderly's there, and we have to kind of help them out and stuff. And the youth are usually there to try to help. We do leave a cross up somewhere so that people who want to come up and kiss the cross can do it. That's an old tradition way. So we always keep that available somewhere in the church where people can do it. And this was a few years ago, somebody venerating the cross. He died on the cross for you. So to honor it, you venerate it. You give it its honor. Okay? This was one of our youth when they were doing the Passion. That's a great picture. I know, I love it. The youth do a wonderful job. They're doing, I believe they're going to reenact the gospel. Yeah, and then during Stations of the Cross these next two Fridays. And then they'll act out the gospel on Good Friday. So, Fridays, they'll have a 12:30 service, 12 o'clock service, 5:30 service, and a 7:15 in Spanish. We try to fit everybody's schedule in, so you guys can come to these
days. I did say one thing, Diana, is when you're at the cathedral, make a point of going up and seeing the cross that is on the altar. It is amazing.
Their crucifix is amazing.
If you're not screaming.
Okay, before we take a break.
Marble floor. We have the cross stain on that marble floor, and it is quite cold.
And they had to be there for a while. Yeah, they got to be there for the whole litany of saints, which is a pretty long time. They only prostrate for a couple of minutes on Friday. So we're going to take a little break real quick before we really get into the vigil and everything, because I know you guys all want to hear about that. A few announcements, though, now that everybody's here. I need your information about the retreat. I definitely need your green paper tonight. So I've got more back there. Please let me know, even if you haven't paid for your retreat or anything, but you know you're going. And your sponsor, what they want for lunch, because I want to give her the tally at the cathedral at the end of this week.
Can
okay?
We just use one paper for both?
Yeah, use one paper for both, three, four, five of you, whatever. Just put your names beside it, okay? Also, I'm going to have this paper in the back. This is for you guys to put down your saint that you're being confirmed under, if you are. All I need is your saint name. I don't need your name at all, because what we're going to do is give this to the choir and see if they can work it into the litany of saints when they do that on the vigil. Okay, they did that last year. It was really cool. So I want to get it to the choir director as soon as possible. So if you know your saint that you're going to be confirmed with, just put it down here, and we'll see if we can work it into the vigil. Okay, I already did that. Don, Deacon Don needs help. Another service for you guys. This Saturday, I believe it's after the 8 o'clock Mass, they're doing the luminous mystery of the windows. Remember when we did that on our Advent retreat? We went to the church and you guys got to see all the stained glass windows and everything. They're doing it again for the church now. So he would like to see if anybody would like to join him and do it. And he will send you a copy of the window so you can practice what to say. Remember how they did that? It was just really, I know some of you guys have joined us late, didn't see it, but it's wonderful. But I believe it's after 8 o'clock Mass. So when he comes back, he should be coming in any minute now. But put your name on this if you want to do it, and then he'll divide up, depending on how many people volunteer. It's about 45 minutes out of your time on Saturday morning, okay? So it's not that hard of a thing. And you just go, you do the discussion of the window and the prayer, and then you just go sit down, okay? So put your name on that, and I think that was everything that I need to tell. People that I still need information from you, I'm going to be coming after you on my phone right now. So let's take a 5 or 10 minute break. Right, so let's get into the Easter Holy Saturday and the vigil, because I know that's what you guys are all interested in. So Holy Saturday, it's a silent day. Hopefully it's a day that you guys will be able to carve out at least some time for some prayer, meditation, think about what's going to happen that night for you. There is no masses are said that day. There's no sacraments are given that day until the vigil, unless the priest decides that somebody needs the sacrament of the sick. They will do that one, but only that's a priest's decision. For you guys, I want you to really use that time to, you know, I mean, I know your family and friends are going to be coming, you're going to get your house ready, all that kind of stuff, but hopefully carve out 5, 10, 15 minutes to think about it. And just thinking about what had happened to Jesus, that now he's laying in a tomb. Nobody knows what's going to happen to him. Preparing yourself to receive the sacraments, preparing yourself for the service that God is calling you to do. You know, things like that. The other thing to think about is, think about what Jesus' friends thought of at this moment on Saturday. Remember, they were with him all along, and now all of a sudden they took their best friend and crucified him on a cross. I think I'd be a little scared. I'd be a little scared that they're coming after me next, because I was a follower of his. And you can just put yourself into that environment of, oh my gosh, what if I was there? Would I have cowered away? I mean, you saw Peter denies him 3 times. And then Jesus built the church with Peter. So it's a scary time for them. They don't know what's happening. They don't understand that he's going to rise from the dead. We all know. So it's like, yeah, whatever, you guys. But it is kind of a little scary. And you can put yourself in that you might have family and friends that have said, why are you doing this with the church? You know, and they're kind of coming after you a little bit because of Jesus. So it's a great time for reflection for you. But the church is very active that morning. We will be having a little practice for the vigil. These are women who come in and they clean the church. The church is clean, things are polished, ready to go for the vigil as well as for the Easter masses. I don't know if people know her, but this is Mrs. Groff, Pat Groff. She's the principal at our school. She's retiring this year, but this is something that her and her family did since she was little, is they would always go to their neighboring church on Holy Saturday and help them clean. So she still continues to do that. So she's in there, you know, cleaning away, polishing everything. So this is something that if you guys want to join us, please come and join us around 9 o'clock, on 9, 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, Holy Saturday. You can help clean the church. This year may be a little tight because you guys are getting ready for your sacraments and stuff, but maybe in the year's future, or wherever church you end up at. Churches tend to have some kind of cleaning going on Holy Saturday.
For snacks.
Hmm?
For snacks.
Yeah, for snacks. They always have donuts for us. They probably don't know how to treat us. There's our art environment, getting the flowers together, getting them all set up and ready. So it's a busy time in the church. Then we have the Easter Vigil. Ta-da! It's your time now. So the Easter Vigil starts at sunset. We have our new Paschal candle that will be lit for the very first time. We process into the church, into a dark church. The lights are not on. We light little shirts from the Paschal candle, and they light them all the way throughout all the pews. A lot of people have the candles on the pews, and we'll just light them from one pew to the next pew, and it's so cool to watch. I was up in the choir loft one time, and just to watch it kind of flood to the back, it was really cool. So we have the light comes in. We have the Exalted That Is Son, which is the story of the Easter mystery. And hopefully you guys have settled into your pew when this begins. Deacon Don sings it with another choir member. So listen to the words, because they talk about this is the night. We have a Liturgy of the Word. You can have up to 7 readings at this point. At our church, we usually do 3. So we're not there all night long. But we do 3 readings. They're all from the Old Testament. But the church tells you have to have, one of those readings has to be Exodus. So we always have to read the Exodus chapter 14. After every reading is the responsorial psalm. So you'll stand, and then we get to sing. And then you'll sit for the next reading. So it's kind of weird. Your family and friends are like, here comes the Catholic aerobics again. And it's all done in the dark. It's all dark. So you just, it makes you kind of sit back and just listen. Just listen. As soon as the last reading is read from the Old Testament, all the lights come on. We have bells. There will be bells in your pews. You will start ringing the bells. The bells in the tower will start to ring. The Gloria is sung. We get to sing the Gloria again. And then the epistle is read. And the epistle is a letter to the Christian community. It's usually a letter from the apostles in the New Testament. Okay, so that happens when the lights are on. Then we go into the gospel, just like regular mass. And there's a homily. And then we go into the sacraments, the baptism and the confirmation. People who are going to get baptized, you are first. You get baptized first. And then you'll come back into the church. And you'll be joined with everybody else who's going to receive the confirmation. And then we go on with the Mass, and we do the Liturgy of the Eucharist. And then you guys will all receive communion together for the first time, or a second time, or a hundredth time. So I am not going to distinguish who's getting communion for the very first time. You guys are all going to be in white gowns, and you guys are all going to go up together as a group for communion. So it will be your first communion, or it will be your hundredth communion. It doesn't matter. You guys are all going to go together as a group. Okay? And that's during regular communion time. So I've got some pictures to show you guys. So we will gather at 6:30 in the hall in the Mulcahy Center. Your family and friends can come in too with you for a little bit. Then we're going to send them out to the church at 7 o'clock. And we are going to go into Hurley Hall for just some prayer, meditation, kind of get you guys focused again, okay? Because it's kind of exciting and everybody's a little excited. Some people are a little nervous. But it's just to kind of refocus us again. They did that to us when our husbands got ordained. They actually brought us to a separate room. So I thought that was a great way to kind of get our minds wrapped around what's going to happen. Then we all come out together, and there's our fire that will be lit. You can see most of the people wearing the white gowns with the red stoles, which means confirmation. There's a little pin there that for communion, so all the deacons and priests know what sacraments you guys are getting. And then you can't see too much. This
That's
woman...
Me.
Where are you?
At the bottom.
On the back.
Oh. Yeah. Right here. That's just
yeah.
Right there.
Right next to Luke.
That is right there.
Oh, yeah, that's Tim. That's Tim. That's Tim. Yeah.
And you can see.
It's good for you.
This woman is in a brown. She's in a brown gown. This gentleman is in a brown gown. She's in a brown gown. Those are the ones. Those are going to be the catechumens, the ones that have not been baptized.
There's 5 of you.
Yeah. Those curtains. So there's Deacon Dan and Deacon Mike are usually in charge of the fire. Deacon Dan usually lights it. We always pray that he gets lit. We pray that there's no wind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he will light the fire. Father Leon will bless the fire after it is lit. You can see the sun is setting. Then that's the Paschal candle. You can see how tall it is. It's very tall. He will make 5 marks in it for the 5 wounds of Jesus. And he will bless the Paschal candle. And then we all follow the Paschal candle into the church, into the dark church. So you can see the dark church. They're lighting the candles.
Nobody's
huh?
In the church. Except really old people.
Some people are in the church, but most people are outside.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it is a dark church, so if you have elderly, you may want to have them just stay in the church in the pews because it is dark. You don't want people to trip. You guys are all going to be on the outside. Then we go out. We have the liturgy of the word, and then the gospel and the homily, and then we just start with the sacraments. So you can see that all the catechumens are in their brown robes because they have not been baptized yet.
So and they're wearing sandals because they're going to.
Yeah. They're wearing sandals. Yeah, you can see they're wearing sandals. So if you're a catechumen, you're going to wear something that you can take off really easy underneath your brown robe. So I would recommend tank top, shorts. You can wear a bathing suit. You wear sandals because you got to take them off to get into the baptismal font. Women, women, I'd say put your hair up in a braid or in a ponytail. Don't worry about makeup. You're going to be glowing as it is, so you don't have to worry about that. Okay? Is there a question?
Wait, they have a question.
You guys are getting nervous now, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I know, but I'm kind of confused on the whole not wearing makeup and
wearing.
Yeah, because
you're gonna get wet.
Like getting dunked, like we're
gonna fall. No, he's gonna pour water over you, but you will get wet.
But you don't have any time to redo makeup.
Oh, no, right.
You're over here doing things where you dunk the principal by throwing the ball.
So you can see your sponsor is behind you, and your sponsor will be there to help you. So there's Father Leon. He's in the baptism font.
I thought it was a tiny one.
Nope.
That is a
tiny one. There's Monique. So you'll have the option if you want to stand or kneel. Monique wanted to stand, but you can see Father Leon's holding her hand. Her sponsor's got his hand on her shoulder. He's carrying a towel for her because you're going to get wet.
Oh.
You're going to get very wet. And then after you're out of the baptismal font, you've been baptized, everybody sings hallelujah and clap their hands, you're going to go to the rectory, to the office right next door, and you'll have about 5 minutes to change your clothes into your other dry clothes and put a white gown on. Okay, and this year I think it's going to be Rosario who's in charge of the Spanish group, and Patty who's going to be banging on doors to get you guys out of there. Okay, women, you'll go first because you guys take a little longer. Men, you guys are going to have to do it real quick.
Because you guys got to keep in mind, we're all waiting for you.
Diana, and just for men as well, you don't have time for dress shirts and neckties. And,
yeah, because you're going to be wearing a white gown. Nobody's going to see what's underneath.
If you're being baptized or just
the Kennedy. Kennedy, you can wear what you want.
Yeah. We're all wearing white gowns, right?
You guys are getting baptized. So they will come out with the white gowns on. So this is my son-in-law, Justin, and you can see Deacon Don is the one that baptized. So he asked Father Leon if Deacon Don could baptize him. So he got in and he baptized him. But you can see my daughter's holding his shoulder. Don's actually holding his shoulder as well.
Oh, that's nice.
But he knelt. So it's up to you if you're going to kneel. Father Leon may say kneel, and he may just say just go and stand. You can do what you want to do. Okay? And then this is a few years ago, but look how this is right after baptism. They have changed their clothes. They have put the white gown on to match all of you guys now with the red soles. And look at how happy they are. They're not wearing makeup. And that's wonderful. She's glowing. So, yeah, the hair is going to be wet. You're not going to have time to do your hair or anything. So, women, don't worry about it. And it's a one. You guys are going to be floating on cloud 9.
Yep.
Because you just got baptized. And when you come back into the church, people are going to applaud you guys, and you guys are going to go straight up to the altar again. Okay? Okay, because we got to finish the baptism, and then we go on to confirmation.
Love you just the way you are.
So I believe that we finished with the baptism of this group, and now the confirmation people are going to come up and join you guys to get confirmed. And then there's a Father Leon confirming, and he will, and we will go over all that because we do have a practice in the church, so we will go over the whole thing. But he will, you're going to whisper to him your saint's name, and then he's going to confirm you with that name. Or you're just going to say your name, and he'll confirm you with your name. Okay? So that's the Easter Vigil.
Then we have a party. Well, we have food.
Yeah, we have a reception in the hall. Your family is welcome to come. We kind of, you know, by this time it's about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. But you guys, everybody's alive. Everybody is so happy to be there. And so everybody kind of hangs out for about half an hour to an hour, and then everybody leaves. Yeah.
I want to throw it out there if anybody's bored. Me and my wife are actually having our cone validation immediately following.
Immediately following the vigil, they're going to have their cone validation. So they're going to get very mature. Stay and see that, and then go to the hall. Your family can all go to the hall because there's food there. So it's going to be a very short validation. It's going to be very quick. And I think, Michael, are you guys getting
validated?
We're doing it
following
that. We are going to go over the vigil more when we go through the practice. When we have the practice, you guys will get your gowns. And you will get instructions sheets on what time to be in the hall. If you're catechumen, there's instructions on what to wear, what to do, what not to do. Everything will be given to you before that day. Okay? Any questions about the vigil?
I'm not going to be able to make the dress for
us. Joe can be there. He'll know exactly where to go.
Yeah.
Rehearsal is on a Tuesday. It's the last Tuesday that we
meet. The 16th?
Yeah, the 16th.
You're being good parents.
2 weeks. Oh my gosh.
And the biggest thing about the vigil is you guys don't have to do anything. All of you just relax and enjoy the moment and let the clergy take care of it. We'll have an MC. Ed will be the MC that night. Dick and Mike will be involved. You saw him standing up around some of those pictures. He's involved. Deacon Phil will be there, Dan, Lowell, Don, they're all going to be up there. Father Joe, Father Leon are going to be up there. It's their job to get you guys where you need to go. My job was to make sure you guys are wearing the right color gown, your stole, and your communion pin. That's their signals for the clergy to tell them what sacraments you guys are getting. So we all do my job, the clergy will do their job, and your job is to sit back and really enjoy this night. Because it's going to go like that. Before you know it, you'll be like, it's 9:30 already? Kind of thing. Okay? Any questions? All right. Oh, yeah.
Is it going to be 4XL?
I do have XL. Actually, I think I have an XXL, too. Because we had somebody that went to 25. Yeah, we have plenty of gowns and stuff. Spanish will be joining us. There's 7 of them receiving either First Communion and Confirmation or just Confirmation. So it'll be 7 of them. The children and the teens will be receiving their sacraments on Easter Day, the next day. So the children should be coming to the vigil for baptism. That's when they should be receiving them. But we've done that in the past, and it's really sad because the children are sleeping. You know, they fall asleep. They're 5, 6, 7-year-olds. And by 9:30, they're sleeping in the pew. So they miss it anyhow. So we thought it would be better if we did it on Easter Sunday for an hour mass, and they're just going to get they're going to get their heads done. They're not going to get the full thing like you guys, like you people do. Aren't you guys all glad you're baptized already?
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have to talk about Easter. Easter is the next day where everybody celebrates. It's the resurrection. It's the victory over sin and death. Every Sunday is a little Easter. Every Sunday is a little Easter. This Easter will be the big Easter. And then we celebrate it every Sunday. Okay? And I love that picture. That's an amazing picture. All right. Anybody have any questions? Do I have everybody's green form of what they want to eat on the retreat? Because if I don't, I'm going to pick whatever you guys are going to eat. And good luck with that. Yeah.
Easter vigil, is that the first Sunday Mass?
You don't have to go on the Easter. Yeah, if you go to Easter vigil Mass, which you guys are, you don't have to go Sunday. Yeah. Remember the vigil's always the night before?
Yeah.
It's like going Saturday night.
I don't want to say it.
All right. I always make it nice and sweet, don't I?
Yeah.
Yeah,
let's
go home. All right, I'll see you next week for reconciliation.
Are we meeting here?
We're meeting here.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we don't have to do that.
I'm going to be walking around here.
My wife wants to be a little
Okay, so when we walk into the church, we're not holding anything.
Oh, so there's a bunch of them. I know that one because I said.